Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today, I have a great guest, and he is running a local business, part owner, because it's an ESOP, which we're going to talk about. But I have on the show Ray Brown. Ray, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Ray is president and CEO of Canfield & Tack, commercial printing and fulfillment.
Correct.
Right? So that is awesome. So tell us, Ray, I want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. So I asked you for your bio. And it's very long. And if I read the whole thing, I think we're going to be out of time.
I think it was a single page.
Right. It was a single page. Right. I'll do a little summary. But Canfield & Tack, been around for a long time, since the 20s?
Yeah, 91 years this year, actually.
91 years, which is super incredible. We're going to talk about how you've stayed relevant and on the cutting edge as a printing company, because some of them haven't made it through the 20 years that have been, like, game-changing, right?
Yep.
You're a $17 million company, 100% employee owned, which is kind of exciting. So we're going to talk about that. You come from sales background, 30 years, graphic arts business, working publications, account service, printing experience of more than 16 years, Rochester, New York City market. You've also worked with a wide variety of companies like JP Morgan, Chase, Kodak, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Xerox, Geico. So I think I've heard of those companies, that's awesome. You went through Leadership Rochester, which I went through as well.
Great organization, great program. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll talk about that. Yeah. And you are on the board of the Pittsburgh Central School District.
I was, yep.
You were, okay.
Last year, finally, 14 years, yep.
Wow, all right, very good. And we both went to Pittsburgh schools. We were talking in advance. Rival.
Yeah, I went to Mendon.
Yeah.
Better of the two.
I went to the more established Sutherland, and involved in a lot of activities here locally. One of them being on the Seneca Park Zoo's marketing committee, chairing the strategic planning committee.
Yep, the first one a few years ago. Absolutely.
Yeah, and and then besides that, you are a husband, you're a father, self-professed technophile. How do you say that?
Technophile.
You're an avid runner.
Yeah,
that's why you're so thin. Good for you. Soccer player, competitive soccer player, and you do photography. And this is what's very interesting. This makes you kind of a Renaissance man. You also spend time tending to the animals, land, and equipment at the family farm.
Yeah, that takes up most of my free time.
Wow, that is your free time, right?
Yeah, right.
Wow. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's just start with the really fun part. So you're a farmer. In your spare time.
We're starting there. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not talking to a lot of business owners that, also are farmers. So that's kind of a unique competitive advantage.
Yeah. So the tilling of the land we don't do. We actually lease out property to a local farmer, which is a nice thing. I mean, I like having open natural habitat around us. Tending to the animals, my wife would argue that's mainly what she does. But we have a horse, a rescue mini horse from Lollipop, a goat that actually came from the zoo that we helped out with, and chickens, cats,
so you have a little, dogs. Little zoo.
Yeah, there's it's exactly right. Exactly right.
Is that kind of a new thing, or have you always been a little side farmer?
We've wanted to live out in the country for a long time, so wanted some property and be out there, and just a natural thing to build a barn, and my wife rides, and always liked dogs and cats, and chickens or something recent. Took care of bees for a while, and so it's
very
fun.
Cool. You're like an onion, a lot of layers.
Exactly.
I'm loving it. So, and also one thing that was not on your bio that I know about you is you went through leadership. John Ingalls program,
right? Yep.
Leadership coaching.
Coaching, yep.
And which is really kind of a boot camp for leaders leading organizations. And I've had a couple guests on the show that have been through his program, and we all half joke, half not, that John has a certain way about him of hitting you between the eyes with what you really need to hear, and maybe no one else has ever had the guts to tell you.
Well,
is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well put. Well put. He's I think forces people to look at themselves in a way that they never have before, and does it in a very unique way. But great learning from that experience and introspection that's still with me today. Still with me every day.
Yeah.
Great man.
I always take away from him, you know, that when you need to deliver the news as a leader, good, bad, or ugly. And when it's ugly and when it's bad, you know, it still needs to be delivered, even though some people are afraid to, right? And I remember he always talked about, harmony is what happens when the company's getting flushed down the toilet, right? Everything is great. Everything is great as it's slowly going down the toilet.
Yeah.
And I think a big thing he taught me was how to be candidly tactful, tactful, right?
Yep.
And and bring it, but do it with a little grace, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Clearly, one of the things I took away from that experience was having those tough conversations. And the reason why they're tough is because they're important.
Yeah.
And although they might be difficult to get through sometimes, the other side of it is a much better place. And if you ignore it and don't have those tough conversations, you're not going to grow yourself, and you're not going to grow the company or grow the person that you're trying to coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if you're just joining us, I am here with Ray Brown, who's president and CEO of Canfield Intact Commercial Printing and Fulfillment. Ray, I know enough about printing to be dangerous. I ran a national magazine for 18 years called Next Step, and then called Next Step U. And my magazine was print. Of course, we had website, digital stuff going on, but the core was print. And the digital revolution, kicked our derriere. Yeah. Print in teens, no longer cutting edge technology. And really, I have to say, the teens continued to love the print. We always got incredible feedback and emails, but the problem is the advertisers didn't want to support it anymore. They said, "Dave, we love you. We love Next Step Magazine, but give us more digital stuff." Mm. And I think they, it probably was just an overwhelming trend to be like, cutting edge, quote unquote.
Sure.
And because of the advertisers shifting from print, I had to change my business model completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the printers along the way. The digital revolution has kicked their butts too. But you're here in Rochester, 91 years, knocking on the door of 100.
Yep.
You just gave me a tour. I mean, every press is humming.
It's busy out there.
You got stuff going on. A lot of great looking pieces I saw, Wegmans and Constellation. And so you're the place is cranking. And we can't say that about all Rochester printers. Some are no longer here. And of course, nationwide too. So, what, without giving away your secret sauce, what do you attribute you guys being able to kind of buck the trend and continue to thrive?
Yeah. Well, obviously a lot of writing and about an industry jargon, and everybody saw what was happening 15 years ago, that there was a revolution coming with digital. And although nobody could tell exactly where it was going to go, print clearly was something that was being pushed to the side, and very quickly people realized that there was power in digital, both in delivery and data and cost. And quite honestly, sales and overall printing revenues dropped off dramatically over the past 10 years. What we looked at that as an opportunity in some senses that we really needed to change the company, become more nimble. I think many printers sort of rested on their laurels for a long time and weren't ready to reinvest in people and equipment and changing the culture of the company to really refocus it on things that are related to printing, things that we were already good at that could be expanded into the digital realm. There is digital printing, so one of the first things that we did was put digital printing equipment in here, which gives you a lot more flexibility, the ability to have every piece slightly different, the ability to customize content down to the individual. One-on-one marketing is, how it's often referred to. So that was one way for us to really change our model somewhat and stay relevant. And some other things too. We can talk a little bit about the bigger picture for us, which was really shifting the focus away from general commercial printing to what we call collateral management. And I'd be happy to talk to you more about that too.
Well, that's a great break point. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Ray Brown.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans, incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop. Hey folks, Dave Mamato here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology, but most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details, not available in all states.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side, 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here talking to Ray Brown today, running a great local business that's been around for 91 years called Canfield and Tech Commercial Printing and Fulfillment. And we're talking about the fact that the printing business, I mean, every business has been affected by the digital revolution somehow, you know, namely Kodak, which kind of invented the digital revolution, but didn't take advantage of it. But so my business, many businesses all businesses are somehow affected by internet, digital, but especially commercial printers. It's a very different business. You're still doing traditional printing, but as you were alluding to, you've moved into some fields of I believe you said collateral management. Yep. So tell us a little bit more how a quote unquote traditional printing company has you know continues to weather the storm and thrive over the past, I'll say, 15 years of the digital revolution kicking a lot of companies' butts.
Yep. Well, if we're describing ourselves to our peers, we say we're a general commercial printer. But the reality is, when we present ourselves to our customers, and especially when we're developing new customers, our approach and really our space that we're very powerful in is what we call collateral management. So we approach larger companies and say, listen, love to do your printing for you. Highly commoditized though, so very tight margins and a lot of people offering the same thing. Mm-hmm. Technology has lowered the bar for being able to get into high quality printing, so that's a big shift from 30 years ago. So we talk to companies and say, we want to know the bigger picture. How do you distribute these things? How do you get them out into the field? When we're talking about marketing items, how do you get them in place? The hard marketing items, the printed material, and the printing related material like tchotchkes and squeeze balls and things like that. How do you get them in front of your customers? And that's a very different conversation than saying, let me quote you the best price I can on that pocket folder you've got going. Right. So when we can start talking deeper into their distribution and their marketing, we're suddenly having a very different conversation with different people in the organization, marketing groups, CMOs, procurement people, talking about what's the best practice to get these out into the field and not wasting the time of our marketing people having to deal with orders that are coming from salespeople in California. So yeah. We create websites. I never thought I'd say that 15 years ago. We have a very robust IT department and a prep department that does templating and everything for online sales. Hmm. Our largest customers are Cooper Visions or ITT. They are logging onto our websites that we host for them, brand them like their companies, often linked to seamlessly through their own intranets.
Yeah.
And their salespeople and distributors all over the country order materials, either printed on demand on our digital equipment or pulled off of our warehouse shelves in our fulfillment center, kitted up, and then shipped out all over the place. So
yeah.
that is one very large growth area for us that is printing related, but is really more fulfillment and sales marketing oriented.
Yeah.
And then the other real growth area for us is direct mail. So, and I think the best way to describe this is that, there was junk mail out there for a long time. And then Frank Romano at RIT used to call personalized junk mail punk mail, which said, David, come for this exciting offer at the bank or whatever. People didn't buy it, But now if you take the data that's on the internet that's available for purchase through all kinds of organizations that are collecting information, and you can really carefully target something into somebody's home, there is clear data that hard copy printed material that comes into your hands, whether it's through the mail or somebody hands it off to you, people spend more time with. And I think people have get email and get banner ads, and it's like what junk mail used to be. It just clutters up their inboxes and clutters up their computer screen, and there's a real powerful marketing that can be done if it's done the right way with printed material and what we call the power of print. I mean, if it's done well and targeted carefully, there's great power in it. So,
well, it separates. I think it separates a company these days because a lot of people are doing less print, or if they're, I'll say, not smart at all, they've abandoned print, and it should still be a piece of the pie. And it's a way to stand out.
Absolutely.
You know, like you just said, people are getting tons of email. And delete. Why not supplement that, or even just completely just do a print only mail, and then because that is going to stand out as opposed to all the mail now. So like a little tiny example of how I do that is I still write handwritten thank you notes on my personalized printed stationery.
Very powerful. Yeah.
But you know why I do it? Nobody does it.
Yeah.
Who, when's the last time you got a personalized thank you note?
Right.
So I stand out because no one, I do it because no one else does it anymore, right?
Absolutely.
I could send an email and say thank you, but they're like, oh, okay, everyone's doing that. Yeah. So I like that. I was just talking to a guy. He owns an apparel company. So he, he puts the logos on your shirts and all that stuff. He does a lot of work with schools. And just, just like you, to stay relevant, he is now setting up online stores for these schools.
Sure.
And so where the students or the parents want to buy these, the tchotchkes from the school, the hooded sweatshirts, et cetera, they go to the school's online store, buy it, and everyone's taking a little piece of the action, right?
Yep.
And he said the same thing. You just said, I never thought we'd be doing websites. He goes, I never thought I'd be making an online store for one of my customers.
Yep.
But otherwise, if you don't do that stuff, you're stuck with a commodity piece.
Exactly.
And then,
exactly.
For his stuff, they're going to go to Vistaprint or one of these online, embroidery companies that could get done in, a couple days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I feel like what you guys are doing, what he's doing, and the traditional companies that are still thriving and surviving, is they're going to their customers and just seeing what they need. Beyond the, as you said too, the commoditized piece of the business, what else can we do for you so that we are such a complete resource for you and that you still need us?
Exactly. Yep.
And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that you're also just doing good old fashioned sales. You know, what these online companies can't do, like what Amazon can't do, is send a guy, you know, to your business to bring you bagels in the morning. And know your kids' birthdays. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, so that's Amazon can't do that. Right. I mean, maybe Jeff will figure out a way.
Very possible. Right. If the headquarters comes here, maybe we can all help him out.
Right? That's right. That's right. You know, so a couple of days ago, I had Jeffrey Gittimer on the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said he was telling me that, you know, he has people over his house for breakfast, you know, employees, customers, vendors. And he said, no one's doing that.
Yeah.
So that's how he is staying relevant, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's 71.
Yeah, amazing.
And, you know, he's the self-proclaimed king of sales.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it.
Yeah, our traditional sales force is, you know, extremely important. We feel that high service, that high touch, and being able to send somebody out face-to-face. And, you know, our people, our customer service reps and our account managers who handle the day-to-day transactions are critical part of the business. And you know, on the manufacturing side, again, it comes down to personnel. I mean, as you know, one of the other major shifts that we've had to make over the past 10 years is to be a more efficient manufacturing operation. I mean, 25 years ago, any printer could afford to be, I don't want to say sloppy, but you know, if you made some mistakes or you didn't maximize the sheet and get as much as on as you could, you're still okay. But nowadays, if you don't have the latest in technology and you're not being smart about how you put things together, you're not going to be able to deliver as low cost a product. So we still have that side of the business where we need to be efficient. And really a great focus here from our operations side with our head of operations, squeezing as much efficiency as we can and looking at the right mix of equipment and personnel and creativity to come up with ways of doing things more efficiently.
That's right.
We have some great programs here, too. I mean, because we're employee-owned, we have a family feeling here that's continued since the second-generation owner stepped away and sold the company to the employees. And so they feel engaged, and they want to help. And we have actually a brand-new program we call Dollar a Day. If somebody can find an efficiency, whether it's doing something differently, a different process, a different workflow that will save at a minimum of a dollar a day, $365 each year, there is immediate payback for that person that recognizes that with a monetary reward. And we want to encourage people to continue to give feedback on how we can do things better. So,
That's great. So you talked about the second generation owner. So the company was let's dig into a little history of the company, because I love history. I love Rochester history and the fact that you've been in business for 91 years, and hopefully you're going to have a big party for the 100, right? So Mr. Canfield, Mr. Tech, started the company in the 20s.
1926 on Mill Street, 192 Mill Street, right downtown. Building still there, very vibrant. Was rehabbed when we moved out about 26 years ago. Company went through a second generation. Dan Tack, Larry Tack's son, bought the company from his father in the 60s, transformed it from letterpress, those hard pieces of type that maybe you did in shop in high school where you laid out individual pieces of type. He transformed the company from a letterpress shop to what we call Offset, which was a technology that's taken over, and that's really what is driving this type of business now is Offset technology. And then in 1994, he was looking for an exit strategy. There's a lot of consolidation going on in the industry. He could have cashed out very nicely by selling to one of these national conglomerates, and looked at all his possibilities and decided to sell the company to the employees. So company is 100% employee owned, has been for more than 25 years now, 23 years, I'm sorry.
The ESOP, right?
The ESOP, And it's worked very well for us. We have very engaged employees. Last year, we paid out about $250,000 to retirees that had either divested or been fully retired from the company. So it's a, it's a great model that's worked really well for us, and we're really happy with.
That's great. I just, last week, I interviewed Kimberly Jones from Butler Till. And she, you know, she took over the company. Well, really, the employees did. But, you know, so the Butler and Mrs. Butler and Mrs. Till wanted to retire, and they did an ESOP, and it's working out really, really well. And I know it's a, you have to do it very carefully, right? I mean, there's a lot of There's a lot of things that could go wrong if it's not set up the right way, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So I mean, you're here at the will of the board.
Yep, I serve at their pleasure.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and for a private company, that's rare. Yep. But so it's kind of exciting. How did you end up here? So tell us about that story.
I went to college in Ohio at Denison University, and I have a BS in biology. So mm-hmm. how I ended up...
Oh, totally makes sense.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Right, exactly.
So I was pre-dental, so yeah, I totally understand.
I shot a lot of photography and was involved in understood graphic arts both in high school and college. I was employed by the college publications department as a photographer and understood layout and how magazines mm-hmm. came together. So I had some background in that. And got out of college, came back here and worked for a short time for a company called Avo Media, the shopping bag. We talked about that earlier.
I delivered the shopping bag.
Yeah, wonderful.
Is it still around? Do they sell the shopping bag?
You know, I'm not sure. Peter Stahlbrut, who was a great mentor, wonderful guy.
Right in East Rochester.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, great man. Great guy to learn from, especially fresh out of school. And that was, you know, pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, trying to sell them ad space. I mean, it's a good lesson, good way to learn sales.
Good boot camp, right? Huh?
And then worked for Bob Ray Creative Group, which was a illustration and design studio. Did a lot of work with Chase Bank then, mm-hmm. and did a lot of logo development for different companies here in town. Another great organization. And then had contact with Canfield and Tech at that point. They were a vendor for Bob Wright. Mm-hmm. And eventually Dan Tech asked me to come on board and work here. So I was in sales 15 plus years, spent a lot of time down in New York once a week for 15 plus years. And that's a good place to learn how to sell too. And very vibrant market, very vibrant print market.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, you know, I'll be honest with you. Not that I got bored with it. I mean, sales is still mostly what I do, but mm-hmm. I wanted something different and I had an entrepreneurial itch and was fortunate enough that we needed to start a digital department here and other people here were on board with that same idea and pitched it to the board at the time and said I really came up with a business plan and said we can set this up as its own P&L and they gave me the go-ahead. So myself mm-hmm. and our head of operations really put together a digital department and learned some things along the way, but grew that into what our collateral management program is, which sort of melds together this complex distribution that we were very good at, the digital printing that you can do on demand, and the traditional printing we had, and then really package it together and said, hey, listen, we can really go out to the marketplace and have a unique product in this that's very different than what anybody locally is really offering. We compete mm-hmm. with some very large national companies that are doing the same thing, but mm-hmm. you know, I'll tie it back to Rochester. We like to think of ourselves as the paychecks of collateral management or print management. So there's some big, big companies out there mm-hmm. that are doing it for companies that are buying $10 million worth of printing a year. We want to go after that medium, smaller space of people who are spending $10 million less, $5, $3 million a year on printing. And mm-hmm. really, they're not on the radar screen of the bigger companies that are doing this because it's too small for them to deal with.
Right.
We want to jump in there and have successfully jumped in there and grabbed those types of companies. And now we've got a good domino effect going on as we knock down more and more of these companies. It becomes easier and easier to go after more of this, and it's been very successful for us.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, we're going to take a quick break.
All right,
we'll be right back. I'm here with Ray Brown, President and CEO of Canfield and Tech. We'll be right back.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans, incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
Dave Amato, and we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am here today with a fine gentleman, Ray Brown. Do you like that? Is that a good title for you?
Fine gentleman.
Fine gentleman.
That'll work. Don't ask around too much about that, though.
Ray Brown is president and CEO of Canfield and Tech, a kind of a legend here in Rochester. Been around for 91 years in a business that has gone through incredible changes. We were talking a little bit earlier that So the owner's son, when he transformed the company, it was really transforming it from not too different from what Gutenberg was doing, right?
And we very true, technological transformation,
and now I mean, you know, Mr. Canfield and Mr. Tech wouldn't even probably recognize what you're doing here, right?
Dan Tech was actually here this morning, walked through with
he's still around.
Yep, still local. And
is he on the board, or he's just
not on the board anymore? He stepped away completely, but really gets a thrill from coming through and seeing what we're doing. And
He's got to be proud.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, you know, would you consider yourself somewhat visionary? I'm putting it on the spot a little bit.
You know, I'm a big picture guy, definitely. Yeah. I need good people around me to help execute. That's probably one of my weaker things, but I've got the good, the big picture, the longer term vision, and I need I surrounded myself with people who help to execute that, and I think when we put our heads together, we do a pretty good job. But yeah, I guess I'm the visionary.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're going to look in your Ray crystal ball, you know, where is this industry going in the next 5 or 10 years? What services are you going to need to have to offer to continue to stay cutting edge relevant?
Yeah. Our focus is on data right now. Mm-hmm. So as I talked about a little bit earlier, you know, we see this great power in having data and being able to use that in the print space. We are doing electronic publishing now, so we have all the content for customers ready to print. Mm-hmm. We can very easy to take that same content and create an electronic publication. So apps that we're doing for several publications right now, where we'll actually handle the app development for them, handle the content creation that we're already doing for their magazine. They print a periodical. The same time we publish that periodical electronically, their alumni or their customers can go and pull that magazine content up electronically. And some people look at that and say, well, why would you want to do that? You know, why isn't it just all going to go electronic? And there's great power in having printed piece that you get in the mail and you put it on your coffee table and you go back to it and look at it.
Yeah.
And you know what? You probably throw that away after a few months, or you get a big pile and you know on your coffee table. But if you want to go back and say, wow, you know what? There's this great article that I wanted to share with a friend of mine, and I know it was a few months ago in the alumni magazine. You can go online quickly to the app, find that article, and share it out.
Yep.
It also gives a revenue potential to sell links in the electronic publication. If we're dealing with a nonprofit, there's a limit to how many ads they can have in a publication.
Mm-hmm.
But now suddenly the online publication, total new world. You can add pages to it. You can add ads. You can add video links. So great power in the content that we have and being able to establish that on other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the power of data that I was talking about before in direct mail. There is some incredible things being done out there that we're a part of as well, being able to really target customers and put in their hands something that's relevant. And they may not know why it got in their hands, but the story behind that is having good data. You know, we deal with a pool supplies company, and you can go and buy data on people who are in a certain income range that have pools in their backyard, and then target them as opposed to scattershot everybody in an entire metropolis with the same postcard. You can really target those very closely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think some companies have made a mistake by abandoning all the traditional and going just for the, I like to call the new shiny stuff.
Yep.
And they've suffered and they've gone back. And that goes with advertising too. You know, you consider radio, print, TV, traditional, and some companies have abandoned those and gone completely to, you know, Facebook advertising, YouTube, digital media, and they found out quickly that that's a mistake. Do you need to do that stuff? Absolutely, but the companies that I think truly continue to succeed are the ones that have it still be a piece of the pie.
Yep.
Like you just talked about Wegmans, right? I just got a tour. So Wegmans, you know, you think they're cutting edge marketing. I don't think it gets any better than Wegmans, right? But it's a small $5 billion family business, whatever it is. And maybe it's $10 billion now. I don't know. But I just saw a printed piece in your shop, right?
Yep.
But also they have a great app. You know, when my wife tells me to find something I've never heard of, I can find it, right?
Yep.
But also I can still bring in something I got in the mail that you guys made for Wegmans. And so I truly feel, and I'm a print guy at heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told you I used to deliver the shopping bag for those Rochesterians that know. And then I delivered the Times Union.
Yep.
I ran the college newspaper at UB, and then I started my own magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I bleed print. I mean, I'm kind of mad at the internet, you know?
I hear you.
But at the same time, I love it because, you know, it's made life easier in some ways. But I've always been an advocate for print. But besides that, I think it is very good strategy to maintain that mix of products in whatever you're doing, but especially when it comes to marketing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That having print as part of your media mix is important.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. And I think people who are at the cutting edge are including and are making sure they include print in that mix. There's almost no place where it doesn't fit somehow.
Yeah.
And having something tactile that you can hold on to and take with you is important. Is important.
Yeah.
You know, Wegmans is a good example of that. My understanding is 12, 14 years ago, they decided that newspaper advertising was not giving them the kind of return that they wanted and taking out these big multi-page ads and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Newspaper sales were declining at the same time, too. I think that was part of it. But they shifted a focus, my understanding was, really into Menu Magazine. It's print.
Yep.
Right? And like you said, they have great apps. They have great online things. I use their online resources all the time. But,
Man,
that Menu Magazine comes in the mail. I pick it up and I read through it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's hard to throw out, too. Maybe want to save that recipe, right?
I've got them all lined up in our cabinet along with all the recipe books. Yeah, so it's there's a shift that they made from one print media to another, but also heavily invested in online electronic media.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. So I want to talk about you. How's that sound? So
I don't think people want to hear that.
Oh, yeah. This is all about right now. So you make it blush a little bit. You know, read your bio again here. I mean, very successful. Had great, and you're still a young guy, but so far it's been fantastic. So, boards, businesses, a lot of hobbies. You're a runner, soccer player, farmer, running a business. What, you know, so someone just starting out, I'll say in either becoming an entrepreneur or a salesperson. Let's say it's your son, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the advice you're going to give that person to create some habits and processes for success?
Mm.
that a good question?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
So, I'd start out by saying I think it's different for everybody. And, mm-hmm. This idea of everybody has their own path. I mean, I know my brain's wired differently than a lot of people. I know that. I have a very short attention span, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But for me, what I keep coming back to is, and I think this probably applies to just about anybody, is curiosity. I mean, if there's anything that I think continues to drive me is just I'm naturally curious about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how things work. I want to know how people tick. I want to know how they met their spouse. I want to know why that piece of paper acts the way it does. I mean, to me, that's a constant driver for me. And some people look at it like, oh, I won't stop asking questions. But mm-hmm. To me, absorbing all that, those little pieces of information is stimulating. And I find that I come back to those things later on in those little pieces. Some of them eventually fit together. There's a lot that don't fit together and are extraneous, but mm-hmm. having curiosity and always wanting to learn, you know, my experience with the school board was, I think the one thing that really stuck with me there is something that schools push a lot, which is lifelong learning. So mm-hmm. don't think that you go to high school and then finish college and suddenly you have a career and you don't ever need to learn again. The idea of thinking that you can always be learning, whether it's taking a class or having a mentor or Leadership Rochester or John Engel's course. I mean, you can always be learning about things that can improve you and improve the business. So,
yeah. And for you, I imagine part of your personal success habit is running. You said you're an avid runner. So does that help you manage stress? I mean, some people say running is their therapy or is their therapist, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think there's a inherent connection between mental health and physical activity, for mm-hmm. me at least. I mean, I talked to a lot of other people, it's the same. I mean, it helps relieve stress, but it helps clear my head. And
You run outside?
Yeah. I feel better when I've had a good workout, mm-hmm. And for me, working on a treadmill or lifting weights doesn't do it. I've got to have something that keeps me engaged. Running, I set a goal to do a marathon several years ago, and it was starting by, I haven't run in a long time. I got to see if I can go 1 mile, and having that goal in mind is something that I need to be more disciplined about when it comes to work. So having that, goal in mind and eventually reaching that goal and knowing that it takes a long time and there's going to be setbacks along the way. And the first time you run one doesn't go the way you wanted or not as fast as you wanted, but a great lesson, life lesson and great lesson that you can bring back to business and mm-hmm. how you approach large projects and things like
that. So did you do the marathon?
I've done a few.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Rochester?
Did Rochester first, Marine Corps, Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I quit.
That was it.
Enough. Yeah. Maybe I'll do another one.
Did you do a half marathon first, or did you went right for the marathon?
Did half marathons, a bunch of 10Ks before that too.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are you a late bloomer in your running?
Running. My running. You're talking.
Yeah. In your running. Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't take up running seriously until I was late 30s, 40, and had always jogged and run a couple of 5Ks here and there, but didn't take it up seriously until later.
Yeah, I was a quote unquote track star in high school.
Yeah,
and then I went to college and started eating chicken wings and pizza and beer at UB.
Yeah.
And I always said, "Oh, my knees hurt," and I think it was my knees hurt because I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, right.
And then same as you, late 30s, I started running again. 5Ks, 10Ks. I've done 2 half marathons. I haven't done a marathon yet.
You'll get there.
But I lost a lot of weight. Yeah. I was I'm only 5'9" on a good day with the Afro, and and I was a good 220. Got down to 185. Now I'm hovering in the 190s. I gotta start running a little bit harder. But but same as you, if I don't run, if I don't work out, I do it in the morning. That just works best for me. And if I don't, I'm a little off. I feel a little more edgy, a little shorter fuse.
Yep.
And so that's, some people meditate half hour in the morning, half hour at night. I try to read a little bit. Are you a reader?
Reader, yeah. Periodicals. And I'll admit, fair amount quick stuff online, some Twitter feeds that I like for news a lot, and mm-hmm. industry information that way, too.
Do you have some business books that helped you out?
I'm not an avid reader of the latest business book, but mm-hmm. Most recently, again, most periodicals related to the printing industry, bigger picture stuff, a little more out there, Zen and the Art of Happiness, I like a lot. I think mm-hmm. it's a great, for me, the introspective stuff that helps me to focus more. I can get the industry and the business information from different sources.
So you're kind of a deep guy. Yeah.
You're I like to think I am.
You like, to think that you're a thinker.
There you go. There you go.
I like that. So if I were to ask you, and I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but if I were to ask you if you could spend an hour with somebody famous who's not here with us anymore, who would that be? I mean, famous does have to be a movie. It could be a movie star, but it could be Aristotle. I mean, so somebody famous that, in that respect.
Yeah, that's actually an easy one for me. Thomas Edison. Been fascinated with him since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, went to Menlo Park, visited the his original laboratories and everything. Actually, he was back there 2 years ago. We were nearby, so we stopped in. And just a, I could see myself living in that era and
enjoying it.
Enjoying it, yeah.
Well, there's a really famous, cool picture of George Eastman with Edison.
They were buddies,
right?
Yep. And Firestone, I think, and another other big industrial Ford. Yep.
They were like the four Steve Jobs of their day hanging out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know the that 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration, that you know, hard work, but with some vision and pounding away at an idea until it you vet it out and figure out how things work. That's fascinating to me, and just, you know, that back to curiosity and taking things apart. I mean, he was an infinitely curious guy who, you know, said, how do I make something, and just tried every possible combination until it worked, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes brute force, but also had, I think, an inherent knack for making, figuring out how things would
work. And they were a product of their time. You would get away a little bit more with brute force back in the
day. Absolutely. You know? Right. Yeah.
I like, you know, it's funny. So you say you're very curious, and I agree with you. I think it's so great to be curious. So I'm mentoring this young woman. Her name is Naomi Hilton. I think she's 22, and she's a friend of a friend of mine, friend of a younger sister of a friend. And I'm mentoring her. And so I'm giving her a ticket to this conference I'm having in New York, the Avanti Summit in New York. And she is scared to go, a little frightened, I'll say, because she's worried that she's not going to have anything interesting to say. Yeah. Like, she doesn't own a business. And so she's like, what am I going to say? People are there, they own businesses. And I go, don't worry about it. People are going to love the fact that you're young and you're there and you want to learn. But still, she was like, I'm just a little nervous about how I'm going to interact. And you know, and I think as a young person, you know, going back, I could understand. But she is like you. She is so curious. She asks, every time we get together, there's like 200 great questions.
Yeah.
And she's just very inherently curious. So I had an idea for her. And I said, after this meeting with me, I go, I want you to go to FedEx Kinko's, whatever they call it these days. I should have sent her here, but it was just a business card. I said, I want you to create a business card. And all I want it to say is your name and then Director of Curiosity.
That's great.
And your email and phone number.
Love it.
And when you are talking to these people, you say, you know, I'm Naomi Hilton, and here's my card, Director of Curiosity.
That's awesome.
Of her life.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So she's going to do it. She thought it was a good idea. Yeah. So, Ray, believe it or not, we got to go.
Wow.
I know. Was that quick or what?
Yeah.
So we both like to chit-chat. Yeah. But, Ray, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. So, Ray Brown, folks, President CEO of Canfield and Tech, Commercial Printing and Fulfillment. Please, if you know, want to keep business in Rochester, and even if it doesn't matter that he's in Rochester, to be honest with you, they're one of the country's great printers, plus, I'm going to say.
Thank you. Yes.
Not only the printing, but fulfillment and website, digital. I mean, like, everything you could think about when it comes to managing, you know, marketing collateral that you want to put out. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you, David.
And Ray, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
Email's great, rbrown@canfieldtech.com. Okay. You can find us on the internet. Be happy to, you know, contact me directly. Not a problem.
Great. Thank you, Ray. Really appreciate your time.
Take care. Thank you.
And Avanti, entrepreneurial listeners, appreciate your time. We'll be back here with another great show very soon, so keep on paying attention. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the show, I'm always looking for great guests, business owners, founders, entrepreneurs, Rochester business movers and shakers. Please contact me, david@davidmamano.com. And in case you're not Italian and you want to know how to spell Mamano, it's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Thank you so much. Be sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com and avantientrepreneurgroup.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.